It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm across the hall from like a dance studio, but there's like nothing but people rehearsing dances. Like,
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. You know what to do. Like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at all the usual spots. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. Really, anywhere you get your podcast from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, actor Penn Badgley. We're going to be talking about the fourth season of You, which is half of it's out now on Netflix. The actor is going to dip into upping the crazy and flipping the script with this new season, playing a slightly different version of his character with each new addition to the storyline, and taking a cue from the talented Mr. Ripley, and eclipsing, maybe finally being known for playing Dan Humphrey in Gossip Girl. Now, Penn's also going to tell us why his band Mother hasn't made any more new music, which artist his son is most into, as well as directing an episode of You this season and what the future could hold for Joe Goldberg. All that and more, let's talk You, out now on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith with Penn Badgley.
How are you?
Dude, congratulations, season four of You. It is an absolute masterpiece of storytelling that you guys are doing this time around.
Thanks.
So, to do this, I mean, to be able to up the crazy every single time, as you all have done on this series, one thing, but to completely flip the script, as you all have done in this new season, like as a producer, what were the conversations going into this? Because again, this is something not a lot of shows would take the chance to do in that, like, we're going to do it all different.
I think that the gauntlet was set out for us really in season one with the concept is not a new concept to let it, I don't know, kind of get tired. Certainly not to jump the shark. I think the implications in a show like this, if you're really careful, they're just, I don't know, the stakes are higher because you're dealing with a guy who is such, he's not only an unreliable narrator, but I mean, he's like, you know, just undoubtedly not a hero. He's a villain. He's hateful, he's a murderer, all that stuff. So I really do think that, I don't know, Greg Berlanti and Sarah Gamble, I don't know, they're the co-creators. I don't know if they quite understood when they under this, what it would take every season to reinvent it or to just keep it going. So given that what the show did with Love, the character, that was the first major reinvention, you know? And I think from season two to three, like, that was also the improbable thing that we succeeded in doing. And so then I think after that, it was like, What on earth could we do? And I think the only thing left, in a way, that is new, was to really turn it fully on him. You know, I mean, he met a woman and married a woman who really couldn't be more perfect for him, and he hated her and ultimately killed her. You know, sorry to for it to be so blunt, but that is what happened. So I think in order to, it's like, all right, now this is a bit of a catchphrase I've developed over the interviews I've been doing today, and let's see if it still makes sense. If this show is a meditation on love, the whole thing is an exploration in love, because I think it is. It's not a clinical portrait of a serial killer. You know, it's more like, what do we think about love? And if you follow the logic of that, what is it really saying? I think we've reached a point in that like arc where the Joe has realized it's not about them, it's about me. It's not actually about you, it's about me. You know, the show starts thinking it's all about you, but even he has realized, this is about me. You know, where does it go from here? I don't know.
That's interesting. I'll name drop really quickly to say I have Chris Cornell on here when he was still around, and he
Right.
said that exact same thing, that so much, you know, the interview is all it's about you. It's about, you know, anyway, I'm only not taking that anywhere, but it's really interesting to hear you echo that in that way, because once you know, once the you goes towards so many different people, that the you becomes the character.
Yeah,
Like
it
that's,
is fitting. I mean, it's fitting. To me, that says the show is doing what it needs to do and what's right, as opposed to, as you said, kind of like, whatever we'd be doing, weren't doing this, I'm glad doing that, whatever that is.
You sort of get to play a new version of Joe every single season,
Sort of, yeah.
and yeah, and this one's no different. I mean, geez, there's you have less appendages going into every season so far, fingers and all of that. I mean, what has that been like? You know, and I'm saying this as an actor. You know, to we know the guy, but now there's something different. You get a different version of him this time as well. I mean, and he plays something different. Well, like, how do you handle that to make sure that the hallmarks are there, but I don't know, it feels like it would be exciting.
Yeah, it is actually. I mean, I think this season probably, I think I was probably the most excited about the change that was possible. And that was true in a lot of levels, just a new country. That means all the characters actually even that much more, because they're just culturally kind of different people coming from a different milieu. And what I do love about him is that every season there's always new heights of danger for him, actually. You know, whether it's literally just with like cops and that sort of danger for, but also he always has some kind of an adversary. And I think the quality adversary every season is really leveled up. Yeah, to me, the more danger he's actually in, the more fun I have. And so there's finding genuinely new ways for that to happen, which I love.
But even hearing you play with the voice, especially in this season, like there's always been a musicality. I've always felt what you were doing, but to get it, like was that like to actually did do you think of that through? Like, oh, we have to alter it somehow.
That sort of more happens as, that's never that conscious. I mean, there's always points where in the vocal booth I'm trying to find a new place with it, but that's never that conscious. It always, you know, and I hope, you know, you're hearing some kind of evolution, but of course it's always going to stay somewhat in the same place. So
I like watching that. I like listening for those little details. And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly VeriScan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Pam Badgley.
I said, like I said, there is a musicality to it. You know, I come from a music background. I know you've got plenty of that in there. Playing Jeff Buckley in the past, and the Mother album, by the way, is there ever going to be another Mother album? Or was that kind of, did it have its time?
It did. I mean, so we were poised to do a little bit more, if not a lot more, but unfortunately the band dynamic wasn't good and we couldn't record anymore. But We're now all on good terms, but it just the four of us couldn't record anymore. And it's just that just recorded us. But it was a great learning experience. Yeah.
Do you still play? I know you've got a wee one. Mine's 15 now, but I went through the period where, you know, what I was listening to changed.
Yeah. You know, is it, oh, dude, music and it's actually we listened to his favorite so far is Aretha Franklin, which is great. You know,
surprise.
Yes, we've influenced it and some, but he spontaneously has always he loves overtly spiritual music. He loves very jubilant, uplifting music. He loves watching. We've not yet gotten him on a cartoon. He's just watching the Aretha Franklin doc, Amazing Grace, because it's all just those songs.
Yeah,
he knows that record really well. And then so seeing just like amazing. So actually, for better or worse, maybe I'm not doing the right thing, but we're really introducing him to a lot of adult music and he seems to be embracing it, you know. So
it's fun when that happens. The weirdest thing, and I'll get back to the point at hand, but I'll say now that my guy is older and he's kind of finding his own taste, every night in the shower I hear him playing like late 90s alt, and it's the same stuff that I would have been singing in the shower. Yeah, like he's playing like Radiohead and Jimmy Eat World, and it's that's, cool. That's bizarre.
That's really cool.
So when that stuff comes around, you know, you've got a some kind of reckoning that comes along with that. Back to this though, and again, this character is just like where you all have taken him. Has it been playing this character, has it changed how people even they approach you? Is that happened?
I don't know about how, but more now. I mean, I wasn't ever sure that it would be possible or even desirable to play another role that would like sort of eclipse the cultural significance of Dan Humphrey, whatever that is. But Joe seems to have done it. And I mean, yeah, it is a lot. I have to take it into consideration more than I ever have, just everywhere I go. And maybe because the character is so intense and all that, I think maybe the appreciation has increased, like appreciation for me as an actor, as opposed to just thinking I'm Dan. I think maybe that's probably evolved some.
But that's gotta be a triumph. I don't know, you know, I was thinking about something else, but we hear about that, you know, if you're lucky as an actor, you get an iconic moment, right? But yeah, then becomes, how do you progress past that? You know, how, like...
Yeah, it's not common. It's not likely. It's, you think you want it, then you get it, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is not at all what, you know, what you think it might have been. Look, the truth is with these two roles as well, there is a sort of cultural conversation between them and not everybody ends up having a career where that happens. You know, there's a lot of ways it can go. And for me, it's gone this way. And I think that it's been kind of a meditation on, because both of these shows, they have a camp that almost breaks the fourth wall in a certain way. especially this one with the voiceover. And so to me, there is something where just this role and the aspect of fixation and fantasy and voyeurism, somehow I do find myself in a position where like it's all just this meta exploration in what is it in attention or because I was going to say fame, but it's obviously not just that. It's like adoration, maybe objectification. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because think of how that plays into Joe. You know, it's definitely pretty like all encompassing the way I experience it.
Sure. And then to have the thought of the people that have no concept of Gossip Girl, you know, that really they do know you as like, and what I'm getting to is, by the way, I love the conversation you had with Conan. I was listening to that this week too. And to hear you talk about, you know, the opening scenes and what you're kind of known for a little bit in this, like now you have those people that only know that side of a character. Like that's where I would think it becomes a little bit more bizarre, the fandom, I think, that we're talking about.
Well, look, yeah, there's an aspect of that that's always bizarre. There's an aspect of being approached that never gets normal. And if it does, I think you're in trouble, you know? But, I, you know, to me, not every actor and not every show or not every project needs to be so aware of its audience. But for some reason, ours really works that way. And I work that way. So, yeah, and I'm still in it. I don't have enough perspective to be able to say more, but it is very interesting, to say the least.
You know, and to hit on this fourth season, like the wrote down at one point, I wrote down Brett Easton Ellis's name. Because there's always been the gory aspect and the obsessive aspect, but I think mixing that with the party aspect of this one, you know, that's you know, it took like my favorite parts of his messed up stories and then my favorite parts of like the Tom Ripley series. Mm. And you kind of wad that together. And that's.
Yeah, actually, the talented Miss Ripley did come up a number of times. We even started having glasses. I mean, not because of that thing. And in the end, it was a little bit too much. I feel like with this season, it's gone to a place in terms of obsession that I never saw coming, and the high society, like him ending in such a powerful position and this season thinking about wealth and power so much, I didn't see that as much in the beginning of the show, you know what I mean? So it's definitely, I think it's growing.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Pam Badgley.
Well, and again, I know you can't answer this question, but what is there more story to tell? It comes back to that, right? Because inevitably, as long as he's alive, he's got a problem. Like, we don't think that goes away, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, with him, this idea of like redemption or change, or, you know, I just don't know that that's really what the show's about or what he's capable of or anyone in his position. I mean, to me, I think it then becomes a question of like, well, what is justice for him? For us as viewers, what would justice be? Do we want to watch him suffer physically in pain? Do we want to watch him die? Do we want to watch him in prison? Do we want, like, what is it that we are imagining that is justice? And, you know, making sure that that's not actually like vengeance or something more twisted than that, you know? So it's, you say that the show creators, so like before we knew even a fourth season was, I don't know if this is happening or where it's, but they did teach me a sort of series finale that I thought was brilliant. I thought it was, in the end, I was like, oh, that's kind of the only way it can go. It's, it's good. And I can't tell you about it.
Sure. I'd be very surprised if you did. And yeah. Then they would say, you can't air this interview. So that, yeah. Thank you for that, at least. I quickly will bring up, because I know we're probably hitting close to the timeline here. You also got to direct this season too.
Yeah.
And what was that like? I mean, having been to the project all this, now here you are, you know, in one of the really pivotal episodes.
Yeah, it was a big episode. I have to say, when I didn't know which episode they would give me at all, they gave me a pretty big one. But I took to it quite naturally. Apart from just a pure logistical challenge of just there not being enough time in the day and having to be in two places at once, it was tough. But apart from that, I loved it. And I mean, I loved being able to direct Elizabeth and Victoria, and they visited and made their cameos. And I loved directing Charlotte and Greg Kinnear, directing Lucas Gage's demise. What's his character's name again? Adam. Yeah, it was definitely a pivotal episode. And then for me, the best part was the dream sequence, you know, just being able to play with the surreality aspect of things.
Loved watching it. I really did. I love the whole thing. Pin, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. And I cannot wait to see where they go from here. I also hope that one day we'll hear some more music from you. I say that selfishly.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. Thank you.
My thanks to Penn Badgley. Again, You, the fourth season, the first half of the season is out now on Netflix. And thanks to you, right, for checking out this episode. Before you get out of here, I do hope you hit that subscribe button, again, so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, three interviews a week to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.